Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 9. Mark, the 9th chapter. We'll be reading verses 17 through 29. Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 29. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire, and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, our hearts tonight are touched by this portion of Scripture, for we see so much promise within these words. So much to encourage our hearts. So much to challenge us. And we pray that in this final Sunday service, prior to the beginning of our great revival, that you will come and you will make all necessary adjustments in our living that will be ready for the revival to begin. Yea, let it begin this very night. Would be our prayer in thy name. Amen. I want to share some thoughts with you tonight on the price of prayer. I think we could all agree tonight that salvation calls for a new goal. When a man is saved from his sins, when he's forgiven for committed sins, when he turns the corner and begins a new life in Christ, he has a new goal. And that is to be like the one who has forgiven him, the one who has saved him, to be like Jesus. But this goal calls for the experience of entire sanctification to attain. You can have all the desire you want to be like Christ. But you'll find yourself having a problem unless you enter into this second definite work of grace we call entire sanctification. For a degree of Christ-likeness can only be obtained through a pure heart, a selfless heart. Meister Eckhart once wrote, "There are plenty to follow our Lord halfway, but not the other half. They will give up possessions, friends, and honors, but it touches them too closely to disown themselves." But it is this very disowning of self that allows us to follow Christ's example. In other words, then, in the experience of salvation, we are made new creatures. We're a new person. We're saved. We're reborn. We're regenerated. And as new creatures, we seek to follow our Redeemer, and we discover, as we're trying to follow him, that there is something within us that prevents us from doing the thing we want to do. And that something must be purified. That something is the carnal heart, the real self. When we come to that point of wise decision in our lives, when we give ourselves unreservedly to Christ, he takes that self and purifies it and eradicates that carnal nature and gives us a new sanctified self that desires only to be like Christ and furthermore has the ability to achieve that spirit of Christ-likeness. All this being so, that isn't the end of the program. For then must follow the life of holy obedience, a life where you get to know God, where you feel his continuous presence in your life, until it's not altogether an unusual thing for you to wake up in the morning with your first thoughts being thoughts about Jesus and his love. For your thoughts upon going to sleep at night, to go to sleep thinking about Jesus. Oh, you say, well, I don't frankly think too much about Jesus when I wake up in the morning. I'm not too thrilled to see the dawn of another day. Well, I rather like the experience of one great Christian that I know who shared with us in recent months the fact that when he awakens in the morning, he prays the same prayer every morning. He greets the day with these simple little words. He says, "Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving all my sins." Oh, now that's a good way to start the day. "Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving all my sins. Thank you for living in me. Today, you will speak through my lips, feel through my heart, think through my mind, minister through my hands, and live through my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." Well, now I'll tell you, that's the kind of thinking and praying of a morning that gives a fellow reason to get out of bed and get busy. For Jesus is alive and living within us. Yes, this life of holy obedience will do that for you, I believe. It will help you to be aware of the continuous presence of Jesus in your life. But the only way that I know how to maintain a life of holy obedience is to tell you that it will always be characterized primarily by a vibrant prayer life. I know of no shortcut, no simple solution to be able to share with you tonight in this last Sunday service before revival as a way to be able to successfully live the life of holy obedience after you've been saved and sanctified, but by having a vibrant prayer life. The kind of prayer that gets things done. The kind of prayer that has the potential for moving mountains and parting the sea. It's a product of holy obedience. But this kind of prayer demands a price. We all want revival. But let's be honest tonight. How badly do we really want revival? We all want to see the kingdom grow But how badly do you want to see the kingdom grow? Enough to pay the necessary price? I hope so, because it's really a part of holy obedience. For I remind you again tonight that we can have as much of God and His power as we want. God has it all ready to go at all times. And we can have as much or as little as we want. But if we want it all, then we have to pay for it. We have to pay for it. Our scripture told us of an incident that displayed the power of Jesus. There was this young lad possessed of an evil spirit, and he was turned into a deaf mute. He could not hear, he could not speak. And in this particular case, they said it was because spirit was no match for Jesus, although he was successful in defeating the disciples. For the disciples, they tried to cast him out, but they couldn't do it. And so the man brought him to Jesus, and he said, if you can do anything for our son, we'd certainly appreciate it. And he went on to enumerate all the problems that they'd had with the poor lad and how he'd been tortured by this evil spirit. And Jesus, of course, in the powerful voice of the Master, commanded the spirit to come out, and he came out. And the boy was made every whit whole. They thought he was dead, but Jesus reached down and lifted him up with his hand, and he was made every whit whole. And the disciples were a little interested in all of this, and said, now we've prayed for him. We've done this kind of thing before. We've prayed for others, and they've been healed, or the demons have been cast out. What's the problem here? Why couldn't we get the job done? Jesus said, well, this kind comes through nothing but prayer. And I don't think he meant here just a single prayer. But as S.W. Green has written, the reference is not merely to the act, but to the discipline of prayer. The habitual reliance upon God, which opens up and keeps clear the channels for His power. It was His lifestyle, His way of life, to be in constant contact with God the Father, to be a channel through which the Father could work. For no man relied more on prayer than Jesus Himself. And He was willing to pay the price of prayer in order to have the power that prayer can bring. This account of Jesus shows Him doing the impossible and attributing the victory to the power of prayer. In order for Jesus to do what He did, He paid a price in prayer. And the Bible is abundant in further examples of this truth. If you'll study the prophets in the Old Testament, you'll see how the Word describes their times of prayer and fasting. Many times, going days on end before they even heard from God, let alone had their prayers answered. Now that ought to make us stop for a moment and consider. When was the last time you prayed for anything so fervently and with such burden and heartache and concern that you prayed for days about it? These men of God were not discouraged because they didn't just hear from God immediately with an instantaneous response. They just kind of proceeded with the attitude, well, God, we know you're up there, and we know you're listening, and we know you're more than able to do something about this matter, so we're just going to continue to bombard the gates of heaven with our prayers until the answer comes. Now, God can respond to that kind of intercessory prayer, you see. And He did.
Is it any wonder that the prophets were able to point to such notable answers to prayer in their lives? For they paid the price of prayer. God heard them and responded. And all the impossible was accomplished. But frequently they had to pay a tremendous personal price. And friends, if we really want to see the impossible accomplished, if we really want to see the kind of revival that I believe God could give us in these days, I just believe it'll cost us something. Christ sweat drops as of blood when he prayed. Should our soul agony be any less in spirit? The reason most of us do not have a deeper level of commitment than we do, because we may have some idea of the cost involved. St. Augustine in his Confessions prayed, Lord, make me pure. But then he realized what this could mean if God took all impurity from him, what it would cost him in terms of selflessness, and he added to his prayer, Lord, make me pure, but not now. Isn't that the place where too many come to? Lord, someday I'll develop a deep devotional life. But not now. Lord, find some significant service for me in the kingdom. But not now. Lord, I want to see revival and spiritual growth, but don't let it cost me anything. If our prayer of commitment is half-hearted, God knows it. And he also knows if we're sincere. And if we're sincere in our commitment and sincere in our praying, he just might take us up on our commitment. He might give us what we're asking for. Many of you have probably read of the revival in the New Hebrides some years ago. Oh, they had a revival there that we still wonder at the consequences of it. But there were those in that time who paid a price in prayer. There were those who prayed for 6 months that revival would come. And when God was convinced of their utter commitment, he collected on their offering. But before he brought the revival, he dealt with those who were praying for revival. After they'd been praying for some time, asking God to bring revival, God spoke to their hearts very clearly and said, all right, men, if you want revival, here's the first thing you must do. You must have clean hands and pure hearts yourselves. So they began to pray for themselves, and when they got themselves straightened out spiritually, then they were able to return to praying for revival. God brought the revival that their hearts longed to see. In fact, it was so sweeping in its impact that the liquor sellers in their area went out of business. They just boarded up the taverns. There was no one to sell it, no one to drink it. Just no demand for it. One of our fine members reminded me a few days ago. She said, you know, for some time I've had the feeling that someday there wouldn't be any liquor stores in Olathe. Not because they passed a law to put them out of business, but because there was such a mighty, sweeping revival through our community that there was no need for them. Nobody had any use for them. That's the kind of revival they had in the Hebrides, but I believe that it isn't confined to any place, any point in time. I believe that God could bring us a kind of sweeping revival in our own community. We have them boarding up all the liquor stores and a lot of other places as well. Lord, how'd you heal that boy? Oh, you can only do this through prayer. We probably can all look back at times in our own lives when there was some burden upon us that we just could hardly stand. We were driven to our knees. First of all, we started to pray, Lord, do something about this situation. And we prayed that way for a while, and nothing much seemed to happen. But if we were desperate enough, we began to pray, oh, Lord, I'll pay any price to see an answer to this situation. I'll personally do whatever I can to help, whatever it costs. I'll do it if you'll only answer my prayer. When you get around to praying like that, God begins to move and begins to do something. And as we pray for revival and as we seek for God, the Holy Spirit, to come in His fullness in these days of special meeting, I believe that we'll have to ask ourselves the question, what price are we willing to pay for God to bring the kind of revival our hearts long to see? As I read the Word of God and as I read the accounts of the lives of great Christians, it appears to me that God hears the prayers of broken-hearted men. Men who are so burdened, men who want so desperately to see God move and God come, that their hearts are breaking within them, and it just appears to me that God hears that kind of prayer. One has asked the question, can we be broken men, broken in prayer, broken in spirit, without something breaking in our lives? Oh, we don't like to think of things in our lives being broken up, being destroyed, being broken. But I'll tell you this, when our hearts are broken by the devastating impact of life's various challenges, I think we'd all agree tonight, we find it a little easier to pray, a little easier to get on our knees and pour out our hearts to God when our hearts are breaking over the challenges of life. But I just believe tonight with all my heart that a man who is sanctified wholly by God's Holy Spirit, a man who lives a life of holy obedience, a man whose life is characterized by continuous contact with the King of Kings, he can keep himself broken before the throne of God. He doesn't have to wait for disasters to come. He doesn't have to wait for the unfortunate impacts of life. But he can just live so close to the throne room of God that he's able to keep broken in spirit and broken in heart, so that he's always under a burden for the things that God wishes to bring to pass. Oh, is it as easy to pray because it's our regular prayer time as it is in a time of emergency? I believe there's a level of commitment that brings one in continuous touch with heaven. Oh, naturally we're human, and when life's emergencies come upon us, naturally we're anxious to go to the place of prayer. And naturally, because we're human, there are times when we're not as anxious to pray as at other times. But I long for an experience that all of us might know in these days of revival preparation, in the days of revival itself, when all of us could have that burning hunger for the anointing and touch of God that would find us yearning and longing for the prayer closet and longing for the opportunity to pray and taking and making special time each day to pay the price of prayer for our meeting. Are the results worth the price? Well, I'll answer that with another question. Is one soul worth the whole world? If that's so, then no price is too great to pay. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Oh, I feel tonight we need to cast some demons out. We have some battles that need winning. We need around the world revival in the Church of the Nazarene. We need around the world revival in this old world of ours, in this country of ours. And I wouldn't care a bit if it just started right here in this local church. It has to start someplace. Why not here? But Jesus said, these big conquests, they come only by prayer. Is this price I'm talking about tonight one of joylessness and drudgery? No, that's the ironic part of it all. Even though the burdens may seem heartbreaking, the closeness of your relationship with Christ gives you an unspeakable joy and the utter satisfaction that can only come through holy obedience. I know of no one who is happier in life and more satisfied in life than that one upon whom God has placed a spiritual burden and is doing all he knows to do to pray that burden through. Pay the price. Let's move some mountains. Let's part some rivers. Let's cast the devil out. Let's have a real revival. How does this sort of thing happen, Jesus? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We ask you this morning as we close the service, are you committed or are you comfortable? Are you committed or are you just comfortable? Oh, don't be a halfway Christian. Be all out for Christ. I don't know, maybe we've had too much privilege. I don't know. Maybe it's been too good. I don't know. But I do know this. The day in which we live calls for something extra. If we're going to do the big jobs, I believe we're going to have to pay a price in prayer. Are you willing to pay that price in these days? A writer who was in communist China wrote a story that I'll never forget. Maybe you read it. He told of Christians over there in China, where it's really against the law to worship Christ. So there are Christians over there, and they're worshiping. They're meeting together secretly, having church services. And he told of one such event. A group of Christians meeting even as the early Christians met some 2,000 years ago in the catacombs of Rome, meeting over there in a home secretly, having service. In the middle of the service, they were all startled as three Chinese soldiers appeared at the door and asked the question, are you people Christians? They dropped their heads, knowing that disaster was upon them. Reluctantly admitted, yes, we are Christians. The soldier said, we will give you 5 minutes to renounce Christ or die. And they stood at the door, counting off the time. One by one, several of those brave Christians got up, renounced Christ, and left. When the 5 minutes were up, the soldiers went back in with bayonets and rifles leveled and said to those who remained, are you ready to die for your faith? Quietly, soberly, but with great resolve, they said, yes, we are ready to die for our Lord Jesus. At that point, the soldiers laid down their rifles and said, we are too. You see, we are Christians. We heard of your secret meeting. But before we could reveal our faith to you, we had to be sure that you were committed Christians, ready to die for your faith, for fear you might turn us in. When I read that little story, I couldn't help but think about Olathe Nazarene and the unlimited privileges we have to worship God in spirit and in truth, to speak His name freely wherever we are, talk about Him to anyone to whom it occurs to us to speak His name. And I wonder if we're taking advantage of all that God has given to us, or if we're just so comfortable, we're not committed. Yes, the little prayer chorus goes, all He wants is you. And that's simple enough. But remember it all, it also says, He wants all of you. All of you. Yes, a man needs to be saved. He needs to be sanctified. But then he needs to live a life of holy obedience. And that kind of life only comes by paying the price of prayer. If you pay that price, I believe He can give you such an experience that you too would be willing to die for your Lord. Are you ready for revival? Are you ready in your own heart and soul? I'd like us in the closing moments of this service to turn to hymn number 476. Hymn number 476. Let's stand together. We're going to pray a word, and then I'd like us to sing this song that speaks to my need tonight. Dear Lord, we believe that You want to accomplish great things in these coming days. But we believe you're looking for people you can trust. You don't want to pour out great victory and blessing on a group of people unless you're confident that they're going to make the most of it. And we need You tonight. It's the best way we can explain it. We need You. Yes, we want to be saved and we want to be sanctified, but we also want to be living a life of holy obedience. We want to have a vibrant prayer life that can perform miracles in Thy name. So we express our needs to You tonight in this closing song. We would open our hearts and our minds to You and ask You as we sing these words, to minister to our needs and adequately prepare our hearts for the revival our souls long to see. Bless us in these moments is our prayer. Let's